Morning. Welcome to University United Methodist Church. It's a little cool out there today, but hopefully you will feel the warmth and love of the people of this congregation. Whatever brings you here, whether it's your custom to be here, whether you came out of curiosity, whether there's a crisis in your life, please know that you are welcome here, and may you find peace with God and peace within yourself. And we pray for peace in our world this day. We especially welcome newcomers. We have a brochure. I've caught a couple of the newcomers. If you see someone in your aisle that doesn't look familiar, that's okay. And if they say, I've been here 20 years, that's okay too. Make sure they get welcomed. There's also in your bulletin a yellow slip. It looks like this. We would love to have your name and contact information if we don't have that on the one side. And then on the flip side, if you have a prayer request that you would like read aloud in the service, please write that down. So if you do have a prayer request, the ushers will collect these in the middle of the service. Otherwise, just drop this in the offering plate, and I will pick them up after that. We do have an abbreviated order of worship in the bulletin that you got. If you have a QR reader on your phone and want to see the full liturgy, that little funny little squiggly thing that many of you may not have a clue as to what it is, we'll get you on a smartphone with the right app to the full order of worship. But everything will be on the screen here or in the back if you for all that you will need. We have restrooms through this door. We do not have childcare today, but children are always welcome in our service, and we have rocking chairs at the back if needed. A couple of opportunities for mission and ministry or fellowship. The Connections College Age and Young Adult Group will be meeting at my home, Nelson and my home, at 4 o'clock today for ice cream. I think it's a little too cold for ice cream, but Nelson says it's always a good day for ice cream. So we will have ice cream and make sundaes. If you are concerned thinking about social justice issues, about the border conditions, particularly for children and those who are in detention, Nelson has a petition, and I just lost wherever he got to. There he is in the very back, has a petition that you might sign that is going to Representative Katko to express our concern as people of faith. And then if you'll take a peek on your bulletin, we have a couple of spirituality studies coming up. The Rule of Benedict with Deborah is going to be leading that on Monday, starting, I think, a week from Monday. And the Fast Track Bible Study Genesis and Exodus will be starting the week after that. So know that besides fellowship, we have spirituality and working on discipleship. And then on the back side, you'll see the Wynn Gaskin Walk. We need to get a few more details, but mark September 21st. If you're like me, anything you can do to get your steps is a good idea, and this would be a good thing. Wynn, for those of you who don't know, was a stalwart member of this congregation, very influential. And if you know anything about housing visions or all the renovation being done in this neighborhood to older homes, that started with Wynn and a couple other people right here out of this church. So many other things here today. Our pastor is not with us today. She is enjoying a last couple days of vacation. Ted Finlayson-Schuler is here to be leading us through the worship as worship chair. So let us continue with our worship.
Good morning. As Barbara mentioned, my name is Ted Finlayson-Schuler, and I work with Pastor Alicia on worship planning, and I'll be leading worship today. She's on vacation. We'll be back on Tuesday. And I also want to recognize our organist today, because he's going to be working a little harder than usual. So we could have a round of applause for our hard-working organist. Thank you, Dennis. He never actually turns around and looks this way. We circulated forms over the last few weeks and asked people to choose their favorite hymn and mention why that was their favorite. And so today, the whole service is a hymn sing based on those hymns that folks chose. And disclaimer, I haven't timed how long these hymns take, so I hope you packed a lunch. No, I think we'll be okay. I want you to listen really carefully to these words of faith that are written in our church music. You know, the words of hymns are so powerful. They've been written over centuries by people of faith grappling with life and love and work and neighbors in ways that are totally different and yet totally the same as we face today. Now, Marjorie Carter is not here. Oh. Where? Marjorie. And so she picked Morning Has Broken because she says she's a morning person, and yet she's not here. Well, we're going to sing it anyway, so please stand in body or spirit and join me in singing Morning Has Broken. Please be seated. You know, I love the image of beautiful gardens springing up in completeness in Jesus' footsteps. Don't you know people like that? Your day brightens up every time you see them. Jesus brightens my life every day when I see him in the faces of those I meet and feel his comfort as I face life's challenges. Another hymn that speaks to God's promises and new beginnings is Hymn of Promise, hymn number 707. Barb and Jerry Cargo remember Esther Rogers and all the saints of the church who have gone on before us when they hear this hymn. Please sing with me. As I started looking at the hymns that you all have chosen as your favorites, I began to notice some themes and built the service around those. I also noticed many hymns written in the late 1800s and early 1900s. These are generally referred to as gospel hymns, and they stress a close personal relationship with Jesus, just like much of the current Christian music does. My mother grew up on and loved these hymns, but I never heard them growing up because my pastor, who was also my father, thought these hymns were too sappy and syrupy. And when he went to Yale Divinity School, those weren't the kinds of things they sang. Christianity was too serious a matter to indulge in sentimentality. I've come to understand the importance of relationships, as apparently a number of you have who chose these hymns. Another theme I noticed this year, as well as last, was that a number of hymns became favorite hymns for folks because they heard them at a funeral. Hymns can often speak to us in times of struggle or grief. The words and melodies can comfort us in very special ways. If one of the hymns we sing today sparks a memory for you, feel free to share it with your neighbor. Church doesn't have to be a place where I do all the talking. Don't worry, I have a microphone, I can speak louder than you. So our first theme is praise and joy. Whenever we plan worship, we always start with praise, our expression to God, of thanks to God for being in our lives. The first hymn of praise we'll sing was chosen by Mike Rhoda because it recognizes God's will in nature. Will you stand in body or spirit and join me in singing hymn number 144, This Is My Maker's Work. Please remain standing. Many of our hymns of joy and praise are pretty exuberant. Eric Avitune's favorite, number 98, To God Be the Glory, is no exception. Look around you. You are surrounded by the beautiful diversity of the people of God. This is God's family. Before you settle back in your seats, take time to connect with your neighbors and share with them the boundless love of God and reassuring peace of Jesus Christ. Am I muted?
You're muted.
Okay.
Yeah, you're fine.
Are you sure?
No, you're not muted.
Please be seated. Please be seated. Please be seated. We are going to stay in praise, but moving from exuberance to reverence as we sing Gertrude First's favorite, How Great Thou Art, hymn number 77. Many of our hymns tell part of the Bible story. These hymns not only inspire, but they also educate. For instance, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus could be the title of any number of hymns about his life. We had one suggestion of a Christmas carol. I guess Jane Humbert is tired of summer. Actually, she suggested hymn number 223, Break Forth, O Beauteous Heavenly Light, because the tune is from a great Bach chorale. Let's sing. There were two hymns suggested that really chronicle Jesus' entire life, ministry, death, and resurrection, but from very different perspectives. These hymns will serve as our scripture lesson today. We'll sing all the verses so we hear the whole story. Many of us of a certain age first heard Lord of the Dance played on a guitar at youth group, camp, or college fellowship meetings. By 1982, it had made its way into the hymnal. Jackie Sadowski suggested this song because the music is upbeat and spirit-filled, and the words invite us to follow Jesus wherever we may go. We will not have a traditional children's time today, but I would invite the children and the young at heart to move into the aisles and dance as we sing. Let's sing or dance in body or spirit, as we sing hymn number 261, Lord of the Dance, together. Thank you to our dance troupe and to Dennis. I believe the auditions will be later this month. Lord of the Dance is written from Jesus' perspective. Woman in the Night is written from the important perspective of the women who were with Jesus throughout his ministry, a much different perspective. Elise Curry likes this hymn because the music and lyrics assure her about women's lived faith and their role in the gospel message. We'll stay seated for this one. What does it mean to live, to be free to live again? During the summer, we've been considering the lives of outsiders, outcasts, refugees, homeless, immigrants. These doors have served to represent the fact that for many, doors leading to basic human rights and necessities are closed, either by governmental entities or by cultural hate, fear, and discrimination. We've also been forced to consider the fact that sometimes we use closed doors to protect ourselves from the problems of the world, thinking that if we just stay isolated, those problems can't touch our lives. We will be taking down the doors this week and begin talking about the facing the challenges that Jesus calls us to every day. His simple command, "Come follow me," reverberates down through the centuries. I'd like to share a video about one of the greatest escape artists of all time who bragged that he could open any door. Go ahead, Steve.
You are about to hear a strange but true story. Legend has it, Harry Houdini, the master magician, once claimed that he could break out of any jail cell in the world. All he had to do was walk into that jail cell with his street clothes on. "I'll be out of there in 1 hour, no problem," he said. Well, a very old jail down south heard about Houdini's claims, and they accepted his challenge. On the day of the event, many people gathered outside. Very confidently, Houdini walked right into the jail and into the cell, and they shut the metal doors behind him. The first thing Houdini did was he took off his coat. Then, very strangely, he took off his belt. Secretly hidden in Houdini's belt was a 10-inch piece of steel, very tough and very flexible, and Houdini started working. In about 30 minutes, that confident expression Houdini had when he walked in disappeared. In 1 hour, he was bathed in sweat, and at the end of 2 hours, Houdini, in defeat, collapsed against the door, which then opened. It opened because, you see, that door had never been locked. But that's not entirely true, is it? That door was locked. It was firmly and thoroughly locked in Houdini's mind, which meant it was locked as if the best locksmith in the world had put his lock on it. The mind is powerful. How many doors in your life do you think are locked but aren't? How many times have you been stuck in the mental prison of overthinking, something that really had a simple solution? There is an ancient African proverb that says, when there is no enemy within, the enemy outside can do us no harm. Your mind is the most powerful force you will ever face. It will tell you lies. It will tell you, you can't do that. You're not meant for that. You're not good enough for that. You can't go on anymore. You don't have the energy. You must thank it for its opinion and carry on. Because like Houdini showed us, the only locked doors that exist are in your own mind. The doors in reality are open, and all you have to do is walk through.
Are there doors that you are pretending are locked in your life? Is it possible that you can reach out and open one of those doors, holding Jesus' hand and accepting the love and support of this congregation? My mother was a Hummer, and I think I inherited the trait. People ask me in supermarket lines, "Are you humming?" I guess so. Many of the hymns she would find herself unconsciously humming were songs of personal faith and a deep personal relationship with the divine. These songs speak of comfort and commitment. Lee Potter suggested we sing hymn number 138, "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is," because of the beautiful Irish melody and psalm-like words. Open yourself up to the deep, deep love of Jesus as we sing. No matter how much we hear that God loves us, we're constantly unsure of our worthiness. How can God love us? How can God love me? Hymn number 351, "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior," expresses that concern. Ikechukwu Jacob, I practiced that and practiced and practiced it. Well, Ikechukwu Jacob says, this hymn reminds him of the fact that he is human, with weaknesses and vulnerabilities, and yet Jesus never fails to show up whenever he expressly calls on him. Please join me. If you have a prayer request that you would like read aloud, the ushers will collect them as we sing this next hymn. While God is ever present and available to us, it's easy to forget. "Be Thou My Vision," hymn number 451, is about opening oneself to God's ever-present being. Joyce Flynn loves the words and melodies of this hymn because it reminds her to allow God to show her the way and to know that God is always with her. Horatio Spafford lost his son to illness, then shortly thereafter lost his fortune in the Chicago fire of 1871, and then lost his daughter at sea. After the shipwreck, while he was traveling to meet his wife who had survived the wreck, he wrote hymn number 377, "It is well with my soul," and he wrote it as he sailed through the area where his daughter had drowned. The story gives deeper meaning to his words, "When sorrows like sea billows roll." Barb Nunn remembers this hymn because it was sung at both of her parents' funerals. Please join me now in singing this expression of faith. Let us be together in prayer as we first have a time of silence, and then we'll sing the Lord's Prayer together. Take a deep breath, get comfortable in your seat, and allow the Holy Spirit to fill your consciousness as you open your heart to God. Please join me in singing the Lord's Prayer in Albert Malott's traditional arrangement. Amen. An ironic fact of Jesus' love is that it's universally available to all and yet uniquely offered to each individual. The writer of the hymn number 314, In the Garden, speaks of experiencing Jesus' love that none other has ever known. That's how personally God loves each of God's creatures. Barb Gilbreth loves this hymn because she has been singing it as a duet with her sister since childhood, and they sang it at their mother's funeral. Sharon Smith remembers that this is one of the first hymns she ever learned. Let's sing together. Begins with this one-on-one relationship with Jesus alone in the garden. The last verse sends us out of the garden. Listen to these words. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling. But he, Jesus, bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling. The text suggests that we find our strength in the garden, but then Jesus calls us into the world to face its trouble and pain. Being born again in our relationship with God through Jesus' love is not an end point, but a beginning. There are many hymns that keep us in and help us through the struggle. All these hymns prominently feature the word we. Jesus calls us into community. He calls us to work together towards the kingdom of God on earth. Mike Rhoda finds hymn 451, Let There Be Peace on Earth, to be a timely and uplifting message as it reminds us to walk with each other in perfect harmony. The ushers will collect our offering as we sing together. Some of the we songs of being in the struggle together are pretty hard not to stand up for. As the offering is brought forward, we'll sing hymn number 519, Lift Every Voice and Sing. These words were set to music at the end of the 19th century and became known as the Negro National Anthem. The final words are, May we forever stand true to our God, true to our native land. Nelson Price asked us to sing this hymn because it sustained the spirit of African Americans in their long oppression. Please stand in body or spirit and sing with me. Please be seated. Tomorrow is Labor Day, a day that has been established to recognize those who fought for safe work to be available to all people, both a very biblical and Methodist concept. Please join me in this litany titled, For Work That Fulfills. Creator God, we give you thanks this day for work. For work that sustains, for work that fulfills, for work which, however tiring, also satisfies and resonates with your labor in creation. As part of our thanks, we also intercede for those who have no work, who have too much or too little work, who work at jobs that demean or destroy, work which profits the few at the expense of the many. Blessed One, we extend your redemptive purpose in the many and varied places of our work, in factory or field, in sheltered office or under open sky, using technical knowledge or physical strength, working with machines or with people or with the earth itself. Together we promise together we refuse Together we affirm We make these promises, we speak these refusals, and offer these affirmations as offerings to you, O God, who labors with purpose and lingers in laughter in response to your ever-present grace. as symbols of our ongoing repentance and transformation, and in hope that one day all the world shall eat and be satisfied. Amen. No song reflects a commitment to work together more than "We Shall Overcome," the anthem of the civil rights movement. Peter Swords asked to sing this because we need to understand our power standing together against racism, militarism, bondage, and exploitation. Please stand in body or spirit and sing with me. When we sing, "We shall overcome," the "we" isn't actually limited to the actual people singing in that place. The "we" includes all those who started the struggle, those in the struggle, and those who will carry on the struggle until the kingdom of God is in fact on earth as it is in heaven. Katie Flynn first heard hymn number 711, "For All the Saints," at a funeral, and it has always spoken to her. Please keep on standing and sing with me. Scott Colantonio asked us to sing hymn 733, "Marching to Zion for Julia." We are marching together to the kingdom of God, and we are singing to let our joys be known. Please keep standing for one more song as we sing together. God. Please be seated. Hymn number 557, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds, speaks to a different kind of camaraderie and shared purpose. Don Coton says he has loved the words and the tune for many, many years. We share each other's woes and mutual burdens bear. It's kind of a quiet affirmation that we are here for each other, for our neighbors, just as Jesus taught. And today, since Nick is heading out on the third, where'd you go, Nick? Oh, you're over there, bend it down. Okay. We have a tradition at our church of singing Blessed Be the Tie That Binds when someone is heading off for a new purpose or a new activity in life. And so, Nick, we're dedicating this one to you. All right. We end our worship today with a song that was an instant classic when the new hymnal came out. Hymn 593, Here I Am, Lord. Always lifts Kevin Upcraft up as it has millions of others. Please join me in closing our worship in song. Peace, to serve God and to love God's people. Amen.